Good morning, Bridge family. It's June 13th, 2021, and I'd like to ask you to begin by praying with me about your single biggest problem in the whole world. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come to you now and I ask you, on behalf of those that will hear this message, to help us to see and understand, first and foremost, your glory, your gospel, and your grace. Lord, I pray that each person within the sound of my voice will come to see, inspect, and ultimately nullify their sin problem. Lord, I pray that you will help each one to see and understand that you and you alone can solve the greatest problem that all of us have. Be with us now, I pray, Lord, as we press into your word and we seek to grow as your people, as we advance your purposes, as you have promised, within your power and as your people. Lord, help me, I pray, to get out of the way. Let your word go forth. Let the worship of your people go up. And may we carry this message of grace and the gospel out to the world, no matter what. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, friend, what do you think is your biggest problem today? As the world continues to spin seemingly out of control, as the chaos continues, as COVID now seems to be making a comeback, as the world is being pulled apart by so many different factions of the faithless, do you understand, friend, that your biggest problem, my biggest problem in the whole world is sin? You see, I'd encourage you to ask people, what is your biggest problem? What is the greatest challenge that you face today? Then ask the next question. How did you get there? How did you get into the middle of that problem? And ultimately, perhaps the most important question of all, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about your single greatest problem? I pray, friends, that you will go, that you will show and tell the world first what their greatest problem is. Help them to see it. Secondly, that you'll help them to inspect themselves personally. And then thirdly, by the grace of God, you'll explain the miraculous narrow path that will lead to the nullification of that sin problem. We know that as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, friends, we're going to continue on in our sermon series entitled Show and Tell, where we've made a commitment to walk through the Bible verse by verse and see where and how God has made this point and this purpose clear, where and how he's given us the promise of a power to be his people for such a purpose. My prayer is that you and I will see today, as we press in to this continuing on, we're going to today meet Esau and Jacob. We've been walking through the introduction to the faith family of God. We've been seeing how God has a plan. He's expressed his purpose. He's made his promises. And he's called out and set apart a people for this very purpose, that we would show the world, we would tell the world about their biggest problem, sin, and the one true living God and his solution, the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Well, today, for a text, we're going to zoom out and we're going to spend a little bit of time with Jacob, the next couple of weeks at least. And so today, my focus is to bring to you a simple message that is going to get at the heart of one of the major themes in all the Bible. And I pray by taking a closer look at Esau and Jacob, looking at a overview of Genesis chapter 24 through 27, I pray that you will come to see sin. You'll recognize how to inspect sin, and then we'll be unified at the end by God's grace and his gospel to see and to share how to nullify this sin problem that we all have. Now, with that said, I want to begin by bringing to you a song that I believe, I think of this as the twins' song, the song of Esau and Jacob. Frankly, I think of this as my song. I'd like to have this song sung at my funeral someday. I believe it tells the story, not only of Esau and Jacob, but of the old Jeff and the new Jeff. I pray that this will resonate with you and that you'll find yourself in this song. Today, I'm going to share a lot of music with you. We're going to minister through music, a simple message that I pray will go down deep into your heart, that it will then be able to be shared with the world with a credibility and a Christ-likeness that will arrest the attention of those that hear. May we all heed the truth of God's truth and love, no matter what. Listen to this song. Listen to every word, beginning and end. And throughout the day, I pray God is going to speak into your heart through these songs that bring truth and love deep, deep into our culture. Watch this, and then we'll come right back.
Oh, mothers, tell your children not to do what I have done. Live your lives in sin and misery in the of the rising sun. I got one foot on the platform, the other foot on the train, and I'm going back to home. To New Orleans, to where they're born and
dangers, toils, and snares. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now was blind, but now I see.
Amen. I pray that you, like me, can appreciate how that song speaks into both our past and our present and future. We are wretches saved by amazing grace. Oh, who we used to be before Christ and who we are today in Christ. They could not be more different, like Esau and Jacob. I pray that you can connect to that truth. Now, let me just remind you, a couple of weeks ago, we focused on coming out of COVID, like Abraham coming down the mountain with Isaac in celebration. Last week, we talked about coming home and building God's house and being God's family and putting our priorities in order. Well, today, we're going to continue that theme. Instead of coming out or coming home, today, we're going to focus on coming clean. Coming clean and telling the story of sin, that you and I might understand what our biggest problem is, what the biggest problem facing the world is. It's not COVID. It's not something to do with our culture. No, in fact, the timeless truth for today is that yours and my biggest problem is not the sin around us. And there is a lot of sin around us. Don't get me wrong. But our biggest problem is not the sin around us. It's the sin in us. And we each need to have an individual solution to that problem. His name is Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let me show you in a way that I pray will help you to show others that this truth is not coming from Jeff, but from Jesus. This is not from the bridge, but from the Bible. And that's why we share it. That's why we bring this forward. We're going to, again, look at the account of Esau and Jacob. If you were to take a quick walk through Genesis 24 through 27, you would see that these twin brothers who were promised and were brought through the grace of God, once again, God touched a barren womb and brought these two sons. And God told the family what would happen. And God broke ranks with human cultural expectations. God said the younger would serve, would be the one that would lead, and that the older would serve the younger. We see in this account that Esau demonstrates that he has no love for God. He has no respect for God. He has no appreciation for the things and the gifts and the glory of God. Jacob, on the other hand, he seems to have a value for those things. But at the same time, he has an underhandedness. He has a mother who is deceptive. He has a way about him that my old friend Rocky used to say, you can see in Jacob that scoundrel of a man. And yet, we see in this account that God has a plan. He has a purpose. And we're told in Malachi 1 and in Romans 9 that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. Now, before you get too caught up in that, just know that the essence of this is selection. That God chose Jacob, and he chose not to choose Esau. And Esau, we're told in Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17, that he was an immoral, unholy, godless man. We see here that we've got a bad guy, and we've got a worse guy, and yet we see that the promise of God is going to go forward through Jacob. We see an account where Jacob literally deceives his brother. He actually steals from his brother, deceives his father, and uses his mother's deception to have all of this work out. It's the most dysfunctional family, perhaps, you could ever imagine. And to think that God's promise would come through this people, it seems to make no sense. And that's the point. I pray that you will see before we're done that all the people have a sin problem. Not just you and me, but all people since Adam have had a sin problem. And that what we see in the promises of God is not related to the purity and the perfection of any people. No, it's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. Oh, that you and I would come to see and understand our problem and our sense of being God's people. It's only in this place that we'll ever rightly understand the grace of God, the gospel of God, the mercy of God. It's what will keep us humble and, I pray, holy. Now, as a text for today, I want you to take a look at Genesis 27, verse 20. Here, you and I are going to see a somewhat obscure passage, but one that I think is pregnant with the problem on display. Here we see God's word telling us that Isaac asked his son, Jacob, "How did you ever find it so quickly, my son?" Here we have Isaac expecting Esau to come back with a meal that he is going to catch and prepare as a precursor to receiving the blessing from his father, Isaac. But mom, Rebecca, hears of this and runs and tells Jacob, "Your brother is out hunting game and your father is going to give him the blessing. Quick, you go get something, bring it to me. I'll prepare it. We'll put some of your brother's clothes on you. Your dad's going blind. He won't know the difference. We'll just get you to feel and smell like your brother. We'll go in and you'll steal the blessing from out from underneath your brother as we deceive your father." And so this is exactly what happens. Isaac says to Jacob, who seemingly is now bringing back a meal far quicker than he could have ever expected it, but blinding Isaac, says, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" Jacob, now lying with the help and support and encouragement of his mother, says, "Oh, I have it so quickly," quote, "because the Lord your God brought it to me." Don't miss this. Jacob is now using the Lord's name to lie to his father to receive the blessing. His mother's in on it. His brother's having it stolen from him. And his blinding father is being deceived on the precursor of giving a blessing. It's hard to imagine any place being more ugly than this, shy of the actual assault and hurting of our Lord Jesus. I bring it to you because, again, it's the most ugly of the ugly. And I want you to remember, this is the man through whom the promises of God will pass. This is Jacob, the child of promise. The blessings of God will come through him. Now, this does not take away from Esau the responsibilities that he carries as a godless man who disvalued the blessings of God, who didn't care about what God would offer. But make no mistake, Jacob is not a clean vessel. Here we have a scoundrel who is going to carry forth the blessings of God. I wonder if you can relate. Oh, friend, I pray that you will come to see just how serious sin is, how pervasive sin is, how divisive sin is, how costly sin is, how deceptive sin is. Literally, how damning sin can be. I want you to watch this and again, just relate to the fact that all of us need this warning to understand our problem, our sin problem. Watch this and then we'll come back.
Some might say I'm only interested in the big things, but that's not the case at all. I love the little white lie. I encourage the second glance at that girl. I hope you take that extra drink. One little compromise. Sometimes that's all I need. I am Sims.
You can't tell nobody about me. Besides, we got a good thing going. You trapped. Nowhere to go and no one to turn to. You actually think people could forgive you? Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. I am Singe.
I celebrate diversity. Man, woman, black, white, young, old, rich, poor, I don't care. I seek all equally. I devour all wholly. It doesn't matter who you are. I am going to kill you. I am Sam.
I sound good. I smell good. And I look good. Just when you think you've had enough of me, I draw you back in. Think you can break free from me? Don't be so sure. I am Singe.
I'm not always easy to see, but that doesn't mean I'm not always around. I'm around every corner. I'm at your home. I'll be at your work. I'm even at your church. But you don't have to look for me because I'll find you. I am Singe.
The younger you are, the quicker I pounce. And the older you get, the more tricks I've got. The more naive you stay, the easier I ensnare. And the wiser you are, the more sly I become. The stronger you get, the more I attack. I am Singe.
Okay, so do you get it? I am sin. Do you realize that the sin that is in us is what is doing so much damage? Yes, there's sin all around us, and we have to be careful of that. But don't miss the point. There is sin inside every sinner, and we must be on guard. This is in our DNA. It's a part of who we are as human beings on this side of heaven. Even when we come through the cross, even as Christians, know that we have a sin problem. I want you to think about it. And again, I want to show this to you in a way that I pray will reveal to you just how damaging it is. Recognize that both sin and immorality are those which gain momentum. A sin that is unchecked will grow like a rolling snowball. These manipulative truths, these lies, they bring forth a momentum of sin. I pray that you'll come to realize that you need to be careful of the skillful sinners and those masterful manipulators who have gotten good at this. Think about how serious sin is, how divisive and destructive. I want you to just think now where we've already been and what you know in your Bible. It was sin that separated Adam, all of humanity, really, from God. It was sin that showed us the difference between Cain, the killer, and Abel, and then Seth, the holy ones that would carry forth what God would want. It was sin that showed us the difference between Ham and Shem, the sons of Noah. It was sin that showed us the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. It's here again, sin that's going to highlight the difference between Esau and Jacob. Go into the New Testament. Think about Jesus teaching about the prodigal son and the Pharisaical son. Oh, there's sin on both parts, but one comes home through repentance. It's again the difference between those who remain dead in sin as opposed to those who are born again. Now, with that in mind, I want to show you, I hope this will help, to show and tell. I want to show you through a visual depiction what's happening here in the Bible. And again, we see in Esau and Jacob a snippet of what is the truth throughout the scriptures, what's true for you and me. I'm calling today's message, Creeping Corruption. I pray to help you to see sin and the creeping corruption that is the number one problem for you, me, and the rest of the world. With that said, let me take you first now and look at and just remember, we all started with a clean slate in the Garden of Eden. It's in the Garden of Eden where perfection was in relationship with the Lord. Nothing was wrong. Our Lord had created the opportunity to love, which brought with it the possibility of sin. Because if you have to love, then you can't love. Love, by definition, requires the option of not loving. When not loving happens, sin occurs. When not loving God happens, sin occurs. We know that that began with Satan sinning against Almighty God, where he wanted to be God. Well, when we were in the Garden of Eden back in Genesis 1 and 2, building up to Genesis 3, we see that God is walking with man and woman in the garden, and all is good. But, sin happens. When sin occurred, notice what happened. The next step is that sin came into the garden, so Adam and Eve had to go out of the garden, depicted here by this arrow. What you see here is when sin now comes into humanity, humanity is separated from Almighty God. Humanity is now pushed out of the garden, away from the presence of God. Pay close attention. What happens in this process is we're told in Genesis 3:15 that Christ will come, that there will be a solution, a savior to this sin problem. His name is Jesus. It will come through his death and resurrection. It is the gospel. He will bring miraculous grace and miraculous mercy to mankind, to those who will receive and believe, repent and obey. Now, what you and I see here is Garden of Eden, the people, humanity being pushed out, and there a promise of the cross, of Christ coming. Watch what happens next. There is a clear path, a narrow path. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 7. There is a narrow way that will lead from the sin problem, starting right there in the garden, all the way to the coming Christ. Now, it's not one arrow, because the individual arrows represent generations. And if you will imagine all of the generations happening between the fall and the coming out of sin, all the way to the coming of Christ, that's what you see here. You see that there will be many generations. This is what we've seen. Again, from Adam and Eve to Cain and Abel to Noah and his family to Abraham and his family. We're now with Esau and Jacob. We're going to continue all the way to the coming of Christ. There is a promised narrow way. There is a covenant people, those who will faithfully obey and stay on course all the way to Christ. They will be God's people. They will be the people that will be the true church, the invisible true church, those that ultimately will live with Christ forever, forever in heaven. Now, understanding that, watch what happens. This is where I pray that you'll be blessed to understand. With each of those generations, we have seen, again, Cain and Abel, Shem and Ham. We see here now again with Jacob and Esau. There's one that is going to stay on that path to Christ. But there's another, the other. And the other goes off course. The other goes the way of sin. Doesn't just sin, but goes the way of sin, goes the way of opposing God. And so at the tip of each of these arrows, I've just taken a black line and said, imagine now they're going away from God. They're choosing another path. It doesn't matter which way, it's not towards Christ. This is the road of sin. And with each generation, you have one that is staying towards Christ, carrying their cross, would be New Testament language. Old Testament, they were continuing to walk by faith. Faith in the God who was promised and who would come. In the same way that we walk by faith, now empowered by the Spirit of God, putting our faith in the God who came and who is coming again. His name is Jesus. But notice here, it starts to get a little ugly, starts to get a little confusing. The world starts to look a little bit messy. Well, let's go another generation. And what you'll see now is those that went off course, Well, the next generation comes in and their people are making more decisions off course. So what was originally one generation, one set of decisions going away from God, is now the next generation, and they're going in two different ways away from God. And again, you can see the world is getting more and more confusing, more chaotic. You're seeing that corruption is beginning to creep in. You're noticing that it's not one purple arrow going to Christ and one black line. It looks now like the black is beginning to outnumber the purple. There is a narrow way that leads to life, and few will find it. And there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many will find it. Those are the words of Jesus. I think you can start to see it. And here, we're still in the Old Testament. We're not halfway through Genesis, and yet you can see this beginning to happen. Well, let's go a little bit further. Let's go to the next generation. And now all of a sudden, this thing looks like a bowl of spaghetti. It looks like sin spaghetti. And all we've done now is gone out three generations where those that have gone away from Christ, those that are not on that narrow path, walking by faith, as the prophets would call the Old Testament people to do. You see now all of a sudden it's getting more and more messy. And all I've done to depict this is to add another, now third generation of choices that go away from God. The narrow path never changes. It doesn't get broad. It doesn't get wide. It's a narrow path. Always was, always will be. This is the only way to heaven. This is the only way to Christ. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. In the Old Testament, this was a narrow way to the coming of Christ. Now, after Christ has come, we live on this narrow way until He returns or until we go home to heaven. Nothing has changed. But notice how the world gets more chaotic. Things get messier. All of a sudden, the people of God start to become a smaller and smaller minority. Well, let me leap forward now, thousands of years, and this is what it looks like. The world is so filled with the other options that it's no longer purple arrows and black lines. No, the whole world is a cesspool of sin. Think about it. Look around you and me. I don't care where you live. You can see the effects of this cesspool of sin. The world is dark. The world is dying. The world is desperate. Whether it's the COVID virus or people killing people, if it's greed, if it's lust, we see the opposite of God's truth and love now consuming the world, just like Jesus said it would. Read, I pray, Matthew 23, 24, 25. He's told us that these times would come, that the darkness would take over, that we would be literally light in a dark, dark world. I transition this slide just one more time to show you. While we are the same people and the path has not changed, and while we are on that narrow path of God's royalty, His gospel, we need to be bright. We need to be bright, white lights of truth and love. It's in this contrast that the world will see the gospel on display through God's people. I pray that you'll realize this, that it's only going to get darker and darker and darker around us. This is why we are to be the faith family of God. This is why we are to live as ambassadors for Christ. This is why we desperately need to be cleaving to Christ. It's not a one and done deal. You don't need to go to church every once in a while. You need to come to Christ every minute of every day. The world is dark and dying all around us. We are needed, church. We need to be the faith family of God. If we all share the problem of sin, and we do, then we all need to share the solution that is Christ. If we are, in fact, the faith family of God, then as Jesus said in John 20, 21, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you. Go make disciples of all nations. Be my Spirit-filled, set-apart, empowered people. May we be this narrow line, this narrow family of arrows pointing to Christ. And I want to encourage you, in the same way that I could use this diagram to show you the generations of the Old Testament pointing to the coming of Christ. I want to encourage you to think about this as each arrow being a day in your life. Each day you have the choice. Are you going to follow Christ today and stay on that narrow path? Or are you going to get distracted? Are you going to do the divisive or the destructive? Are you going to go off course? No, you have a choice to make. Stay on the narrow way. This can be in a macro sense from the Old Testament to the New, or this could be for you a daily routine. Ask yourself each day, let each arrow be a day in the week. You ready, friend? Let each arrow be an hour in your day. Let each arrow be an individual decision that you make in your life every single day. See, you can make the choice that stays on the path and defeat sin by the grace of God, or you can go off. You can go off as one that's drifting into the dark. Don't do it. Don't do it, friend. I pray that you are seeing through God's word, through your own experience, that God blesses faithful obedience, and the wrath of God awaits those who choose to disobey and disregard and disrespect him. If that's a Christian, then there will be discipline that will come. If that's one who chooses to take that path and ultimately deny and defy Christ, then there is utter eternal destruction that awaits. Oh, I pray that you will not be an Esau, but rather you'll be like Jacob, imperfect but passionately pursuing what God would have. I want you to take a listen to this song and hear again, see that there is a challenge for all of us to not get caught up in the things of the world, to recognize that we'll never be satisfied, never satisfied with anything or anyone other than what comes out of the core of a commitment to Christ. There's never going to be enough for Esau or anyone else.
Though all the wealth of men was mine to squander, and towers of ivory rose beneath my feet, were palaces of pleasure mine to wander, the sum of it would leave me incomplete. Though every soul would hold my name in honor, and truest love was always by my side, my praises sung by grateful sons and daughters, my soul will never still be satisfied. It's not enough. It's not enough. I could walk the world forever till my shoes were filled with blood. It's not enough. It's not enough. Spend the centuries seeking light within. The wild indulges my every dark desire, exhausting every avenue of sin.
Amen. Amen. I pray that you can relate to that song as I can. That used to be me. I used to be Esau. Now, again, remember, Jacob is not perfect. Jacob is filled with his own scars. But remember this, like Jacob, bad guys with grace become good guys with warts. None of us are going to be perfect. And that's part of the story here. Our problem is sin. Let us do a deep inspection to realize where we are in our relationship to sin so that we can get right with our one true living God. If you're not right with him, and if you're embracing your sin, then I encourage you to cry out to Jesus, to repent, and understand this. There is a world of difference, an eternal world of difference between remorse and repentance. That remorse, like Esau, we're told in Hebrews 12, he wept when he did not receive his blessing. But he didn't weep because he couldn't repent. He wept because he didn't get the blessing. He wanted the blessing, not the blessing giver. Friend, I pray that you and I, like Jacob, that we'll get real and we will repent. That when we realize we've been scoundrels, we'll confess and we'll repent. That we'll come to know, like Jacob, that there's nothing about us that is worthy of God's love, worthy of God's mercy, or worthy of God's grace. But because of his great love for us, because of his great grace, the gospel has been extended to us so that in part we may extend this truth and love to others as well.
Well, I grew up a preacher's kid, and I spent a lot of my life feeling like I was a little bit under the microscope. And over time, I developed a skill, and it's a skill that I'm not sure I'm proud of, but it's one that I've developed over time and even into my adulthood now as a Christian singer, and that is the ability to look the part, the ability to make sure that everybody around me thinks, okay, he's good, you know, or he's super spiritual, or man, what a good Christian that guy is, you know. It started as a kid. I just remember feeling like all eyes were on me as I sat in the front row of the church service. And like when we sang worship songs, I felt like, okay, for the slow song, I need to raise my hand, because if I do, then the parents behind me will nudge their kid and say, why can't you be more like Matthew? Those kind of things, you know, are what the Bible warns us about being too concerned about the outward appearance and maybe forgetting the fact that, you know, it's possible to look the part, but not really be living the part. To look healthy on the outside, but your heart could be in critical condition. And there's a lot of people in this world, maybe who know what I'm talking about. And maybe they're scared for people to know that maybe they don't have it all together. Maybe they do have some broken pieces in their life. And it's keeping them from finding the true freedom that God offers to all of us. Because guess what? God sees it all, and he's not changing his mind about us. And so my favorite line in this song I'm about to sing for you says, there's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know, so let the truth be told. And that's what this song's called, Truth Be Told.
Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. Well, truth be told, the truth is rarely told. I say I'm fine, yeah I'm fine, oh I'm fine, hey I'm fine, but I'm not. When it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not, and you know it. I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, but being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know, so let the truth be told. There's a sign on the door, says come as you are, but I doubt it. Cause if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner and the scarred and the prodigal like me. Well, truth be told, the truth is rarely told. Oh, am I the only one who says I'm fine? Yeah, I'm fine, oh, I'm fine. Hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. Well, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it. When being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told. Can I really stand here unashamed, knowing that your love for me won't change? Oh God, if that's really true, then let the truth be told. I say I'm fine, yeah I'm fine, oh I'm fine. Hey, I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm broken, and when it's out of control, I say it's under control, but it's not. And you know it. Well, I don't know why it's so hard to admit it, when being honest is the only way to fix it. There's no failure, no fault, there's no sin you don't already know. I know. There's no failure, no fall, there's no sin you don't already know. So let the truth be told.
Oh friend, I pray that you have come to see that in the account of Esau and Jacob, Esau was robbed, Jacob was a thief, Jacob was a scoundrel who deceived his father. Jacob was on the path that seemingly would lead to the same destruction that Esau was heading to. What's the difference? That's what I want to ask you. What do you see as the difference? Maybe it's better to begin with this question. What do you see in Esau and Jacob that they had in common? I hope that you see they had sin in common. What do you and I have in common with Esau and Jacob? I pray that you see we have sin in common. It's in our DNA. It's deep down inside of us. It's our natural inclination as sinners. And it's always an issue. DNA, deep down inside of us. And it's our natural disposition outside of Christ. A, it's always an issue. May we confess and repent. May we live on a daily basis, recognizing the fight that we are in. Let us be like Paul, who recognizes in Romans 7 that, oh, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I do want to do, I don't do. And the things I do want to do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Let us acknowledge that there is an old sinful nature inside of us that we must fight every day. Let us not take God's grace for granted. And at the same time, don't let that old self, that old sinful nature, don't let it get you down. You have everything you need for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. You are an overwhelming overcomer in Christ, Romans 8:37. You can do all things in Christ who gives you strength, Philippians 4:13. Oh friend, I pray that you will live with the victory of knowing who you are in Christ, while ever mindful of the humility that keeps us grounded in the understanding of who we were. Let us live in this great tension and share the gospel. Let us recognize that the only difference between all of the positive examples in the Bible and all of the negative ones, it's the grace of God. If you are in the family of God, it's by the grace of God. If you are not, then cry out to him. May we be that holy family that is ever humbled, bold and humble at the same time. Friend, I pray that you've come to see that in Esau and in Jacob, we can see ourselves. When I ask you, who do you relate to? I pray to God you'll say both. I relate to Esau in who I was, and I relate to Jacob in who I am. I'm a sinner who is a work in progress. I'm a miraculous, Christ-like work in progress. I'm a Jacob. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm not still an Esau. May we carry this message forward. May we be the ambassadors of truth and love. May we be the ones who tell others to come home to Christ and know that hope happens here. Healing happens here. Not because of any human that is in this building, but because of the holy God that leads this body. It is the one true living God that we all worship, that we all come to. May our witness be that of worship, no matter what. Oh, I pray that today you've seen and heard and will continue to hear through music and truth, the very love of our God. Lord, I pray that each one within the sound of my voice will come to realize your amazing grace, your limitless potential for each person that surrenders to victory in Jesus the Christ. May we be a people who exemplify your purpose, who champion your promises. And may we do it never once for a second in our own strength, but through the promised power of your Holy Spirit. I pray this, asking every person that's now going to watch and listen to look for themselves in these closing videos and to listen to every single word because it represents your truth. And I pray it holds up a mirror to many. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
It saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier.
Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now,
I'm sober.
Happy.
Peaceful.
Grateful.
Free.
Alive.
Forgiven.
I'm found.
I was blind.
To God.
To faith.
To love.
Pero ahora, yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears
started about 9 months ago. Give or take a couple days. And it's been the best decision I ever made in my life, without a doubt. Coming to the bridge. I remember my first day there, like it was yesterday. Came in lost, confused. Tried everything. I broke down and cried watching somebody get baptized. I didn't even know who they were at that time. And, it was like a feeling that came over me that I knew that's where I wanted to be.
Change my life,
sweet Jesus.
Change my life
and let me
live the way you want me to. Search my heart,
sweet Jesus.
Search my soul
and tell me if I'm wrong, so I can change.
Hold me and set me free from this world that's pulling on me. Fill me with grace and peace. Let your spirit flow through me.
And I went up front after service, like most of us do at times. And I asked Pastor Jeff to just help me with this obsession and compulsion to use. I need help. Quick prayer for me.
Let me walk,
sweet Jesus,
and not fall,
sweet Jesus.
If I do, I'll know you're there. I love you,
sweet Jesus.
Yes, I do.
And I will
make it through these trials of life. Hold me and set me free from this world that's pulling on me. Fill me with grace and peace. Let your spirit flow.
I talked to various people in the church, and they all had that calm, reassuring feeling like it's in God's hands, Jeff, and everything's gonna be all right. I prayed on it, and it became very clear that everything was gonna be all right. I can't remember exactly how the prayer went down because we've had numerous prayers together after church. But I know from that day forward, I haven't looked back. It's just a session, compulsion to use. It's been lifted, totally.
Hold me and set me free from this world that's pulling on me. Fill me with grace and peace. Let your spirit flow.
A lot of people just look at me like they don't believe it.
Hear my prayer,
sweet Jesus.
I'll be there
when someone needs to hear
of who you are. Speak through me,
sweet Jesus.
Give me be heard throughout this world. Hold me and set me free from this world that's pulling on me. Fill me with grace and peace. Let your spirit flow through me.
I've been walking around with blinders my whole life. You know, you just gotta surrender and turn your life over to Jesus. You know, quit fighting the battle and just give up the fight. because I think that if we let ourselves, I think Satan pulls us, tries to pull us down. I pray to Jesus, my Lord. And it's just, I just feel this connection now. And I'm a miracle right now. I mean, it's just one more reassuring thought that I'm on the right path. No doubt.
Amen.
No doubt. I once was blind, and now I see. Thanks to Jesus, my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Now I see.
I used to have a relationship with God, but over time I fell away. For 10 years, I lived a hard life. I felt ashamed of how I was living, and I felt guilty all the time. I was scared that God would not want me back. I may have let go of God, but He never let go of me. Because He was, I am accepted and loved by God.
I spent 10 years of my life as an atheist. But because He was, I know that Jesus is the way. I started drinking and doing drugs in junior high. I was involved in a gang, and I spent 3 years of my life in prison. I was always in bondage to something, but because He was, I am free. I'm free to be the father and the husband that I want to be.
My husband and I wanted to have a baby for 3 years. And although our first two pregnancies ended in miscarriage, we continued to stand on God's promises. Because He was, I am a mother.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. His mercy and grace, unending love, amazing grace.
I was a drug addict for 10 years and a gambling addict for 3 years. But because He was, I've been clean since 2002.
I was selfish, I was hard-hearted, I was hurtful to the people who cared about me the most. I was not a good mother, I was not a good wife. But Jesus changed me. And because He was, I'm a completely different person.
I was diagnosed with stage 4 bone cancer. The doctors were not hopeful. Their goal was to keep me alive long enough to see my son graduate. My son graduated from high school 2 years ago, and I am completely cancer-free. Because He was, I am healed.
I was a faithful church attender for more than 25 years. Everything looked great on the outside, but on the inside, I was tormented. I was living a double life. For 40 years, I had been addicted to pornography, and I had run up extensive gambling debts as well. My wife knew nothing about these dark places in my life. When my secrets were exposed, my family and my friends were devastated. But because He was, I am restored and free. My marriage has never been stronger, and my walk with God is real. Those things that once held me in bondage, they hold me no more.
My chains are